Tim says, we're in Proverbs at chapter 8, which is page 641. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there. When he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters could not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in the human race. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death.
This evening, please keep that open in front of you, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to ask for God's help as we look at this. God, our Father, even in hearing Abby read that tonight, there is great power in what your word has to say, even without explanation, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church tonight. Father, that we would be made wise tonight for salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That, Father, we would be tonight equipped to live the life that you want us to live here on earth. Gracious Father, please teach us tonight. Please show us Jesus on these ancient pages of this book of Proverbs. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, in case it had escaped your attention, we are right in the middle at the moment as a country of an election, a general election. And so if you're following this and haven't kind of buried your head in the sand, that means that you will be hearing and engaging with speech after speech, manifesto after manifesto, leader after leader, and every single one of them is trying to woo you, if that's a word that you can use. They're trying to woo you to pick them. Vote for me. Pick me. Listen to what I have to say. As you listen into their speeches, they kind of follow a pattern very often. They put before you who they are. What type of person, what character do they have? They put before you what they've done. We've had about four leaflets through our door this week, and each one is telling us, you know, we've saved the bins in Enfield. We've done this, we've done that. We are going to stop the shops from shutting. They are putting before you their track record of the things that they do. And they're putting for you the results they've produced as well. I campaigned for this, and it happened. I have a good track record. Listen to me. Choose me. Vote for me. That's what we're going to be bored of by a couple of weeks' time. People pitching those kind of speeches at us. And our job is not to bury our head in the sand, but our job is to listen. It is to weigh it up. And it is to choose who we are going to pick, who we're going to vote for. And this evening, as we come back to this book of Proverbs, over and over again in this book of Proverbs, we've been encountering voices. Voices that are calling to us, voices that are wooing us. But we come to Proverbs chapter 8 and we meet yet another voice. And it's another manifesto, it's another speech, it is another CV put before us. And in effect, this voice is saying to us tonight, listen to me, choose me, pick me. Let's just scan an eye and let me just show you this from the text. Look at verse 6, the beginning of verse 6, if you've got it open in front of you. Listen, listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. Verse 10, choose my instructions. Verse 32, now then, my children, listen to me. And again, you'll see that in verse 33, listen to my instructions. Here is a voice tonight that we are going to spend a few minutes listening into, but this voice is trying to woo you. This voice is trying to catch you and to say, please listen to me. Please follow what I tell you this evening. Now, who is it? Who is this voice that we're listening to this evening? Who is standing at the platform, as it were, tonight, wooing us with their words? Well, it's actually wisdom, or we might call her Lady Wisdom. See, let me just flick on, we'll see here if I can get this thing to work. It's not going to happen. There we go. Ethan, could you go one more? So, okay, here we go. Lady Wisdom is calling us to choose wisdom. Now, Lady Wisdom, if you've been with us on Sunday evenings, is a character we've met on a number of occasions. We met her in chapter 1 of Proverbs, and we've met her on chapter 3 of Proverbs. She speaks out. Now, Lady Wisdom is a character. This is a form of writing. It personifies something which isn't a person. She personifies wisdom. She gives wisdom a voice, and she gives wisdom some arms, and she gives wisdom some legs. See, wisdom isn't a person, it's a thing, it's something that kind of hasn't got arms and legs normally. Wisdom, as we've been seeing, is the knowledge and the skills to craft life in a way that is good. Wisdom is learning to do things God's way while we live here together in God's world, while we leave God in charge of our lives, make him Lord. That's wisdom. And that's what has got arms and a legs and has got a voice this evening. Wisdom, this thing that can give us the skills to do life. And tonight she stands before us, wisdom, the character wisdom. You can paint her tonight in the mind's eye. She stands here and she woos you. She's trying to catch you tonight. She says, listen to me, choose me, pick me. Now, why does she want you to pick her? Well, verse 35, the stakes are quite high. Look at verse 35. For those who find me, she says, find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me, now listen to this because it's quite sharp what she says here. All who hate me love death. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? There was a girl at school I went to who used to walk around with a coffin rucksack. It was shaped like a coffin. Now, that was weird to me. You know, who does that? Goths do that. That's what the answer is. But who does that? That's a weird thing, right? We look at that and we double take because no one loves death. But if you reject wisdom, she's saying, well, you do. It's quite sharp, isn't it? The stakes are high. And if you've been with us over the last few weeks, chapter 7 of Proverbs, we met another woman, the adulterous woman. And she was wooing us with her words. The young man, come to me. I've been looking for you, wooing us in. But in contrast, in chapter 8, stands before us tonight Lady Wisdom. And I want to tell you tonight, please, with all liberty, let yourself be wooed by her. Avoid the woman of chapter 7, but tonight, please, listen to this lady and let her woo you with her words. Let her catch you in. Let her tell you why you should listen to her. See, I want you to leave here tonight, and I want to persuade you down the path of fearing the Lord. I want to persuade you, I want her to persuade you that to listen to wisdom, to have wisdom, is the most precious thing that you can have in this world. I want to let Lady Wisdom do the talking tonight. And all I want to let her do tonight is put before you her CV. Why pick wisdom? Why should you bother to listen to wisdom? 7 things, okay? 7-point sermon. Most of you are sweating, thinking, man, I just want to go to bed. 7 points? Are you serious? And communion? Yes, we're going to go for it. Here we go. Number 1. You ready? Here it is. I don't know why this isn't working. Eve, can you flick on number 1 for us? All right. Here's the first thing on her CV. Wisdom is findable. Now, again, that's probably not a word. I've probably made that up. But let's go verses 1 to 3. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of looking for some information on a website. And you just look all over this website, and eventually you find it, and it's kind of tucked away in some corner somewhere, like a piece of information that you were never really meant to find. Have you ever had that experience? No, that's fine. It's just me then. Maybe I'm rubbish at finding things. Yeah, a few people have. Information is tucked away, and it's impossible to find. But wisdom, that is the information and skills that are needed to do this life in the way that we should do it, in a way that works, in a way that God intended, is not hidden away. They're not hiding in some cave in Tibet. You don't have to do some strange pilgrimage to go and find the meaning of life somewhere. Actually, wisdom, the stuff we need to do this world properly, to live this world the way God wants us to live it, is not hiding. It calls out. It is there to be found. Her voice is there. Look again, it's in the public square. It's on the streets. So the very same streets that the young man of the previous chapter is ignorantly wandering around and falling into the trap of the wayward woman. No, that voice, the voice of wisdom, is on the same streets and is there to be found. Now where? Where do we hear this voice? Well, it's publicly available because actually you can walk into any bookshop still and buy the Bible. You can buy the Word of God. You can buy the Scriptures, which Paul tells Timothy can make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And they can make you wise for how to do life. They will teach you and train you and rebuke you and correct you in righteousness. Sorry, my Bible's not normally closed while I preach, by the way. That's a bad sign. I've actually got it printed out here, just in case you're thinking, why has he got his Bible closed while he's preaching? The Bible is our source of wisdom. And the Bible's our source of wisdom because in it we meet Jesus. And Jesus, on the lips of Jesus, you will find wisdom. Wisdom, 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 just pouring out how to do life. The Lord, in his grace, has not hidden the wisdom needed to do life. It is publicly available. Even in countries that are trying to stop the Bible getting in, the Bible is still getting in. And wisdom, God does not hide wisdom because his word is available, his voice is available. Wisdom number two on her CV, that wisdom is for all people. Can we go for the next one, Heath? Is that all right? Sorry, Heath's going to be my clicker tonight. He's upstairs. Wisdom is for all people. Look at verse 4 and 5. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. I want to say to you tonight, as Lady Wisdom addresses us, wisdom is for you. Wisdom calls out to you, whoever you are tonight, whatever nation you're from, whatever education you've had, whatever social background you have, whatever mistakes you've made in life, wisdom is for you. Did you notice that? It's for all people. She calls out to everyone. She's not biased, she's not racist, she's not classist. There is not a person on this planet who would not benefit from wisdom. Listening in to true wisdom, God's wisdom on how to do life his way in this, his world. But amongst the people that she calls out to, which is all people, she actually has a very special audience. There's a special set of ears that she wants to pay attention to her. You'll see that. Look there in verse 5. But you who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts. Now, I doubt many of us are sitting here sort of thinking, I'm going to put my hand up for that. Yeah, count me as simple. But these are two categories that Proverbs comes back to again and again. The idea of being simple is the idea of still being impressionable. Being inexperienced in life. So perhaps some of the younger people might count in this category. It's people that are easily led astray. The foolish are those who are complacent and indifferent to knowledge. And wisdom says, I've got a special voice for you. You especially need to listen to me, but everybody. I am for all people. Wisdom is for everyone. She's what every person needs, including you this evening. And she has proven that throughout time and across the world. She is listened to. Wisdom is listened to in every nation, every tribe, every tongue. That's number two. Number three on wisdom's CV is that wisdom speaks truth. Just look with me at verses 6 to 11. Listen, she says. For I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. See, there's been lots of talk over this last week, if you've been watching the news, about lies that we've been fed, isn't there? These people are not telling you the truth. They do not have this money to spend, etc., etc. We're being told that people are lying to us, promising money they don't have or speaking about things. Wisdom, however, is trustworthy. She speaks what is right. What is true, what is just. Did you see the language? Verse 9, to the discerning, all of them are right, the upright. I think this is her way of saying, actually, I'm simple, I'm plain. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. What I say to you is what I mean. Not baffling us with jargon that we can't understand. See, how much, honestly, if you think about this, how much do you value people who tell you the truth? Someone who quotes on your car. You know, if you ever get your car fixed and someone says to you, ooh, that's going to cost you about £1,000, you're thinking, are you telling me the truth? You know, are you just adding some things in? Truth matters to us, doesn't it? At all sorts of levels. Wisdom, the voice of wisdom, speaks truth. She's trustworthy, verse 11. And here is a voice, therefore, that is worth more than money, more than any riches. This is a voice that speaks what is true. She speaks truth about our world. She speaks truth about our families. She speaks truth about our choices. She speaks truth about wealth. Isn't that a voice that you want to hear? A voice that tells you what is true, what is trustworthy from God, a voice that we can trust, a voice that you can lean your full weight on. If something's trustworthy, you put your weight on it. That chair, you hope, is a trustworthy chair. Now I'm making you doubt, but you hope it's a trustworthy chair, and you have put your full weight on it this evening. And don't you want a voice that you can trust like that? If they tell you something, you want to be able to sit on it, to put your weight on it. Wisdom's trustworthy. Number four, wisdom gives good advice. Wisdom gives good advice. Look at verses 12 to 14. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. They're housemates, two brilliant qualities. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. Wisdom can help us to make the right choices in life, to determine what to do in any given situation that we face in the week, whether it's which big decisions, like which job we choose or which relationship we kind of steer ourselves into or how we handle a conflict. Wisdom speaks into those situations. And what is more, she has a proven track record. So just look at verse 15 and 16. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. Verse 16, by me, princes govern and nobles who rule the earth. Wisdom, excuse me, has been seen lived out in the public sphere. Doing things God's way in God's world has proved right over and over again. Wisdom genuinely gives good advice. And you can go back and you can look at all the times that people have followed the path of wisdom and it's landed well. Here is a voice that is wooing us, that is calling us because she gives good advice to us. Good advice, because she hates what is evil and she loves what is good. Number five, you still with me? We are going through the 7 points quite quickly, okay? Now you're all getting quite excited, thinking, wow, we could be home early. Or number five, here we go. Wisdom, she says, gives good results. Look at verse 17 to 21. I love those, she says, who love me. And those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the path of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. We've had many, going back to the political thing again, sorry for that, but we've had many carrots dangled in front of us, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks. If you vote for me, these good things will happen. If you vote for me, I'll give you a free Rolex watch. If you vote for me, I'll give you free broadband in your home. Whatever it may be, people are trying to lure us in with promises of good things. And wisdom is saying to us tonight that if you follow me, you will have good results. You will have good results. She takes us to good places. Now, this is not a promise. We have to understand this about the book of Proverbs. It's easy to read this book and think, oh man, if I just do what she says, I'm going to be minted by next week. Now, that's not what she's saying. But this book speaks in language we understand. She uses imagery we understand. And if you were to start to think about, well, you know, what does it mean to have good results? Well, our world only understands that as one thing, don't they? Which is wealth and a house and comfort. You know, that if you ask the person on the street what a good life would look like, what good results would look like, they'd say, it would lead me there. And using that imagery that we all understand, wisdom puts before us a promise, a sort of a picture language of, look, you follow me, and this is where you'll end. Good places, good results. Now, actually, I think some of wisdom does lead us into good paths, into working hard, into to serving hard. It can end up us in good places, but it's not a promise that we'll all be super rich. She's putting before us in picture language that if you follow her, if you listen to her advice, you will end up in a good place. And friends, isn't that what the Bible says to us? That if we listen to the voice of our Lord Jesus, then actually he gives us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. If we listen to wisdom, where does it take us? It takes us to good results, good places. See, who doesn't want a rich inheritance in this room? Really? You know, who doesn't want a slightly better life, really? Who doesn't want good results? And wisdom says, choose me. Choose me because I'm going to give you good results. Number six, wisdom says to us this evening, she knows how the world works. She knows how the world works. Look at verse 22 to 29. I won't read all of this. But what is she saying? She says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago. Where does it fit into creation? It's the first thing. It's the very first thing, preeminent thing in creation. Now some people, and if you're into this, just we'll have a slight digression for a second. Some people think this is talking about Jesus, and they think this kind of proves that Jesus was kind of created. And so some people will argue with you, if you ever get into these conversations, that this is a passage that said, you see, Jesus was created. He was the first thing that God created. He's not the eternal Son of God. But actually, I think that completely misunderstands what this chapter's about. It's a personification of wisdom. It's a character, wisdom. And she's getting a voice, and she's saying here, look, I came into the world. I'm the very first thing in creation. Why? Because we've got to understand where she fits in this world. God used wisdom to weave together this world in which we live, to construct it, to make stuff work the way that it works. Wisdom was right there at the beginning. And so wisdom, this voice we're listening to, understands how this world works that we live in. She was right there, constructing this world, weaving it together. See, when we built this building 8 years ago, there were a handful of people who knew this building like the back of their hands, and some of them are still here. They know this building. They'd studied the plans. They knew it in and out. It was going up. They'd wander around and say, well, that's going to be this, and that's going to be this. And even now, they can walk around this building. Why? Because they were there when it was built. They were there when the plans were being made. And wisdom is the same. Wisdom understands this world because it was there. It was the tool with which God weaved together this creation. Isn't that the kind of voice that you need in your life? One that understands how life works? When you're left scratching your head thinking, how does this work? You know, how does life work? How does this decision work? Don't you want a voice like wisdom? Number seven. You still with me? Still alive? This is wisdom CV. She's just putting it before us tonight. Why pick her? Number seven. Is she's good friends with the Lord. Just look with me at verse 30. Then I was constantly at his side. That's the Lord's side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in the human race. The picture that we've got here is wisdom. Wisdom is right there by God's side. Wisdom is a close friend of God. We often talk about, don't we, having friends in high places? Well, I can tell you that there's no one with friends in higher places than wisdom itself. Wisdom is friends with the Lord. Wisdom can pull strings because the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who we know to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is close with wisdom. The Lord is wise. And so we have it here, you see, this evening. If you're listening into wisdom, this lady, this personification, she stands before you. She puts before you her CV and she says, pick me, choose me, listen to me. She woos us in. And I want to say tonight, as you just look down that list on the screen, Maybe just in the slightest way, have you been wooed towards her tonight? Aren't they things you want in your life? Really? Don't you long for someone who can tell you the truth? Don't you long for someone who can give you good advice? Don't you long for someone that will take you to good places, lead you to good results? Don't you long for someone who actually understands how the world works? Has she wooed you tonight? Has she lured you in any way? Just listen to her final plea to us tonight. Look at verse 32 and 33. Now then, my children, or so then, my children, because of my CV, so then, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard it. What does it look like to listen to Lady Wisdom? I mean, after all, isn't she just a made-up character in Proverbs 8? The answer is yes. Lady Wisdom is a made-up character. So what does it look like if for real we are going to sit and listen to wisdom? Well, look at verse 34. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Well, if Lady Wisdom is made up, whose doorway do we go and sit at? Whose doorway are we going to be poised at this week so that we can gain this wisdom? Well, it's really the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go on to the next slide, Ethan? If I was to sum up this chapter in two words, it would be this. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. See, Paul tells us that in the Lord Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, Lady Wisdom is a made-up character, but she represents this thing called wisdom. And so where are you going to find it? We find it in Jesus. We find it on the lips of Jesus. We find it in the life of Jesus. You see, Ethan, could you just go back a slide, just one more slide? Let me just work through these things. Is Jesus findable by people today? Yes, he is. In pretty much even countries that are trying to kick him out, even countries that have banned Bibles, banned Christianity, they are some of the countries that the church is thriving the most. Jesus is findable. Jesus is for all people, true or false? True. Jesus is for people of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Whatever social background, whatever education, Jesus is the one who speaks truth to us. He comes from the Father, John tells us, full of truth and grace. On the lips of Jesus are things you can trust, things you can build your life on. As he tells us that we are in deep trouble with God because of our sin, as he tells us that he came into this world to pay the debts that our sins deserve, as he speaks of his resurrection, which he did, as he speaks of his coming again, friends, that is trustworthy words. Does he give good advice? Yes. I'm hoping that you're a bit more affirmative of that. He does. And there is probably enough of us in this room who could share a story over coffee to say, yes, he gives good advice. I have followed his advice on many occasions, and he speaks what is right, and his advice is good. It's not always popular, it's not always easy, but it is good. It gives good advice. In him, we are promised good results. We are promised eternal life. We are promised an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Friends, when people tell you that these things about getting rich now are true of the Christian life, just remember that we follow a Savior who didn't have a bed to lie on. He had the clothes that were on his back, and even they were taken away from him in his death. He was homeless. He often had to rely on others for his food. That's the Savior we follow, but he promises us a great inheritance. A rich inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus who knows how this world works. We read in several places that Jesus was the agent of creation. Jesus was weaving creation together. Jesus knows how this world works. He's the firstborn over creation, preeminent in this world that you live in. As you go out to work tomorrow, who made it to work the way that it works? Okay, yes, it's broken, but who made the world that you're going to live in tomorrow? Jesus did. Who are you going to listen to? Jesus. And friends, he is good friends with God. Partly because he is God, but also because he was with God. And that's the mystery of the Trinity, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Friends, Jesus is good friends with God. As I read verse 34, look with me at verse 34. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. I couldn't help but think to myself this week of that story in the New Testament we have of Mary and of Martha. You know that story? Some of you might know it. It's an amazing story where Jesus goes to visit the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha's so busy doing stuff for Jesus that she kind of misses out on something that Mary picks up on. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and she listens to him. What's she doing? Well, you might say verse 34. She was waiting at his door, watching at his doorway. Jesus, teach me. Give me wisdom, Jesus. And Jesus said this about Mary. He said, she has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Friends, I want to simply ask you tonight, are you sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus? Notice the language there. It's daily, daily watching at his door. You know, we don't come just once a week. Are you daily sitting at the door of Jesus, daily saying, I want to learn, I want wisdom? Are you listening to God? And why should you choose the voice of Jesus? Well, look at verse 35 and 36. We'll finish here. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord, but those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And his disciples said to him, Lord, to whom else should we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. To reject Jesus, to fail to sit at his door, is to harm yourself. And as strongly as it puts it in verse 36, it is to love death. Friends, wisdom wants to woo you. Pick me, wisdom says. Pick me. Choose me. And to choose wisdom is to choose Jesus. To listen to him daily at his doors. Will you listen to him this week? Verse 34 tells us, blessed, blessed are those who listen to wisdom. Blessed are those who listen to Jesus. Do you believe that? I hope so. Friends, let's pray and then we'll sing a song together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you tonight for this precious chapter of your word that just underlines to us the importance of wisdom. The wisdom of learning to live in this your world, doing it your way, with you in charge of our lives. Father, we thank you that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask you, and you give generously to all without finding fault. Father, we praise you tonight for Jesus. Please help us to choose Jesus, to sit daily at his doors and listen to his wisdom as the one who speaks truth, as the one who gives good advice, as the one who leads to good results. Father, help us, please, to be those who choose Jesus this week and sit daily at his door, waiting for what he has to say. And we ask it in his name. Amen.